Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
No!
But this is like the Mexican fire show on the beach at the Blue Parrot Bar in Playa del Carmen.
How about that?
Very exciting, very dangerous.
Yeah.
Kerosene flying all over the people on the front row, of which I was in, as they swing fire-lit batons. Wow!
It's the Rod Peterson Show!
Welcome, everybody. Hour two of the RP Show is at hand. We're Facebook Live only. It is episode number 275 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show, coming to you from the Sweatpants Capital. How come nobody laughs when I say the Sweatpants Capital? Am I the only one that finds that funny?
I don't know. But for like 25 straight days when this COVID started, I think that's what I wore into the studio.
It's the Sweatpants Capital.
Yeah.
And also mullets and Trans Ams.
What's not to get?
What's the problem? Rich Sutter was with us in hour one, and we talked a lot about the NHL playoffs, and specifically his Columbus Blue Jackets. If you missed it, go back and watch it. The cool thing, too, is people are telling me that they're PVRing the show now on Game Plus.
Yeah.
They have that ability to do it.
That's cool.
So it's a lot, for them, easier to go back to than it is to go back on Facebook, because which now has apparently a rewind mechanism if you're watching live. Did you know that? That's what they tell me.
Okay.
Coming up in moments.
I don't watch live because I hear live.
TSN NHL insider Darren Dreger is going to be with us, and Gord Burnett, the newest addition to the Moose Jaw Warriors. There's a penchant, a groundswell of folks that want us to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs, because you know there's not going to be enough of that talk in Canada in the next little while.
Right.
So I'm more than willing to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But you, what did I say? I can sniff controversy. The NFL-CFL agreement, potential agreement, is one thing that people are really talking a lot about. And they get really heated about it. And if you guys don't mind, can you put up that comment from Ralph Kaur? He's an American viewer from the Eastern Seaboard. Or if it's gone too far past and you can't get it, please, you don't have to. But he made a comment about the NFL in the 1950s. There it is. Thank you. Ralph Kaur. Meanwhile, in the 1950s, the states had no NFL on TV. The owners would not allow it. Ticket sales drove the league. When they did allow games televised, it was only road games. Believe it or not, in the 50s, we watched the CFL on TV. All the better college players went north because they made more money there than the NFL paid. But we talk about that stuff every day. What's he saying? We can't compare 2020 to the 1950s. I don't understand, Ralph, what you're getting at.
So I'm looking at that and saying the CFL had this great opportunity. Evolve or die. The NFL clearly evolved from there to the powerhouse that it is today. And the CFL didn't.
And hasn't. So I'm sure he's got a point. I just didn't get it. Jeff, the Stamps fan, with a decent question. He says, my question to everyone is, if the CFL can't survive on its own, why has it? Why is it, sir? I don't know. I get annoyed at the amount of people. I don't get annoyed at them. I get annoyed at the thought of the people that are texting me and calling me and emailing and DMing me, saying people that have a vested interest, people that are working in the league now or make a living off of the league in some fashion, saying, where's the urgency? What's happening? Because it really seems like nothing's happening. And we can recover the quick six show topics in a moment, because that was one of them. But if you want to put your feet up and let things coast, like there's a lot of people that seem to, hey, we've survived threats before, we'll be fine. Go ahead then.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how that turns out.
Good luck.
The smart people are saying, do you realize how serious this is? That Ralph Kaur writes back and says, exactly. Okay, let's stop talking about it and let the CFL figure it out for themselves. How's that?
Yeah, we could.
Okay. So here's our quick six show topics. Are you ready, Jordan? Before we bring in Darren Dreger of TSN. Number one, CFL must play at all costs. Boom. And an hour ago, I said why. A lot of people care. Point two, how will CFL add players in the event of an injury? i.e. bringing two or three new ones into the bubble. Point three, should Randy Ambrosi have a news conference to discuss these things? We haven't seen him in a while. Point four, MLS is back. And one thing I've learned, no lead is safe. Toronto FC blew a big one against DC United yesterday. Point five, Kings Park Speedway's official season for 2020 opens this weekend. I'll be dropping the green flag at it, and apparently so will you. And point six, a stressful time for the National Hockey League? That's a very good time to bring in TSN's insider for the National Hockey League, Darren Dreger. Dregs, I was watching you last night, well, actually this morning on SportsCenter, where you said, this is a stressful time. And I thought, you're not talking about the players, because those guys look really happy to be back on the ice.
No, the players are definitely happy to be back on the ice. And the coaches are to have the players back on the ice. The general managers are a bit nervous. The owners most definitely nervous. The Players Association and the National Hockey League, Rod, without question, are nervous because, again, each individual club is working within their home city. And each individual club is responsible for testing, and that's mandatory. They all have to do it. They're using a variety of methods. But, again, that's all the responsibility of the clubs. That will change in phase four. Then the National Hockey League takes over when the 24 teams are dispensed to the two hub cities in Toronto and Edmonton. So right now, the world of health is completely and utterly out of the control of the National Hockey League. There is nothing that they can do to keep these players safe other than encourage them to do what's smart, right? I mean, here in Ontario, in large parts of Ontario, they're initiating phase three in terms of society, which means, you know, more people are being allowed to gather, you know, on patios and things like that. Well, the National Hockey League does not want its players leaving the arena and going to a patio in Toronto. I can assure you of that. So everyone associated here are hoping that everyone remains diligent, remains smart, remains healthy, at least until July 26th, when they can get them on planes, get them either to Toronto or Edmonton, and into perhaps the safest environment in pro sports, and that is that hub city environment where they won't be able to leave. But until then, who knows? It's a bit of a crapshoot.
Well, so that's the thing. That's the distinction I'm asking you. Is it stressful now just administering these tests, or are they stressful, fearful of an outbreak down the line in the bubble and this whole thing has to be canceled? Or is it both?
It's both, Rod. It's both. But in the moment, it's about not having control of the process. And there's multiple layers of stress here involving multiple executives, you know, at the National Hockey League head office. Steve Mayer, by the way, is probably the hardest working individual in pro sport today, because he is essentially effectively in charge of getting both hub city operations fully functional. Can you imagine the mammoth undertaking that is? It's not like you welcome 12 teams to Toronto and Edmonton and say, all right, well, here's where you're staying. Here's where you can go inside the building and that's it. I mean, these men, these organizations all have to be looked after. And the protocol is off the charts as it needs to be. Well, Steve Mayer is in charge of making sure that all of those facilities are available. So his level of stress, I'm assuming, is pretty high. In the moment, it's about not having the control over the process. And, you know, what if something happens? I mean, let's look at the positive. And we got a good example of the positive, I think, from the Pittsburgh Penguins organization yesterday when they pulled nine players out of the mix. Not because of protocol, because there was a secondary risk that the club, not the National Hockey League, that the Penguins as an organization decided was too risky. They wanted to make sure that those nine players were tested again and remain safe. So that's an example of how serious everybody is taking this. But again, until you get to July 26th and until you get into those hub cities, that's out of control of the NHL and the NHLPA. And then when they get to the hub cities, you're right, there will be some concern. They can deal with a positive test here or there. They can't deal with an outbreak, because if there's an outbreak in the hub cities, then you know what happens? As it should, the health authorities, the medical experts will take control over at that point and decide whether or not there is or isn't hockey.
You know, I'm impressed by the way the NHL's handled it with the players, obviously. And here's my main sources are you, Bobby Mack, and The Athletic, to be honest with you. I mean, I read it all, but you guys are the ones that I go to first. Is it as smooth as it looked? Because the way the NHL's handled it looks really good.
For the most part, it has been smooth. And you know, if we look back to yesterday, the opening of NHL training camps, largely very smooth. I didn't poll the 24 teams, but I talked to a number of them, and I all got the same feedback, mostly from the general managers. I mean, the general managers are juggling everything, right? They're the ones who are worrying about test results. You know, they're the ones that are looking at injury and some of the muscle pulls and all of that, that, by the way, can't be disclosed. You're either unfit to play or you're unfit to practice, but you don't have muscle pull. They just want to stay away from anything health related, which irks me. But I suspect that that's going to change. But by all accounts, it seems like it has gone extraordinarily well and very, very smooth. And I'm not going to lie here, Rod. I'm surprised that more players didn't opt out of playing. I thought the list of players choosing to opt out was going to be maybe as high as 50, to be fair, because I didn't think it was unreasonable to think that you could have at least two players per team. You know, when you look at the bigger number of players associated with a team. So the fact that the numbers are so low in terms of the opt-out players is equally impressive. So we'll see. I mean, it's still early in the process. And again, I remain a little bit skeptical for a number of different reasons, but we're only day one into training camp and I guess halfway through day two. So maybe check back in a day or two and see where we're at.
You're right. But I mean, we all want to work, right? You want to get out of the house. You want to get to work. And I'm sure, you know, I think people forget that this is still players' jobs. It's not a whole lot different than what you do for a living, right? And you're talking about the health aspect, not do you want to play or not, I assume, right?
Yeah. No, every player wants to play. There's no doubt about that. And I have high respect for those who opted out for a myriad of reasons. You know, if you look at Travis Hamonic, as a Prairie boy from Manitoba, you know, he made a decision that's the best decision for his family to not play for the Calgary Flames for the remainder of the 2019-20 season. And I've got a lot of respect for that. But I also know that Travis Hamonic, as an example, is a fierce competitor. And it's going to bug him to be on the sidelines and not helping, you know, his team, the Calgary Flames, win a Stanley Cup. So there's a big difference between doing what's right as a father and doing what you want to do as a competitor and a guy who wants desperately to win a Stanley Cup.
Oh, and he's been scorned, but he's a weak king and a warrior. I think we know him. I'm with you. Yeah. He wants to play. Two last questions here, Dregs. One, on the MLS, we've seen teams drop out. You must have thought of the NHL, too, about what if it happens to us. There must be a contingency plan.
Yeah. Yes, but they're not willing to share it, you know, not just yet. And you know, as I don't know if you were able to watch the media availability of the Players Association brass with Don Fehr, Matthew Schneider, and Bill Daly, and Gary Bettman from the National Hockey League on Friday. They wouldn't get pinned down on that. And they just can't in terms of the specifics, because the reality is here, Rod, every day is being managed on a day-by-day basis. And I know that that sounds dismissive, and it feels like an easy out for the Players Association and for the National Hockey League, but they don't want to speculate or comment on a scenario until they face it and they have to deal with it. But if you were to see a team outbreak, particularly at this phase, at this stage in phase three, I don't know that the National Hockey League would have a choice. I mean, you know, maybe they delay the start of phase four to give that team the necessary time, if that's even possible, to get healthy again, to get into the play-in environment or the round robin, depending on which team we're talking about. That's, again, is one of those multiple layers of nervousness that the NHL and all clubs and the Players Association are dealing with right now in a phase three, which they can't control.
Like you said, stress. But it really got me thinking when you said that. Last one, I don't even remember you talking about actual hockey, Dregs. It's been so long. I mean, 124 days now, it starts to form a brain pattern, you know, and a lifestyle. So for you, when are you going to switch to your regular reporting? Do you think you're going to be able to do that at any time soon? What you're used to?
Well, not like I used to. No, maybe, you know, the earliest would be phase four, you know, August 1st when it's game on, and not the exhibition games prior to. because at that point, you know, then the hockey does become priority, and some of the COVID sideline stories, of course, we have to pay attention to, but, you know, thankfully they'll become secondary. You know, more and more, this is my first week back. I look at wily old veteran here, Rod. I knew that the CBA negotiation was going to be a beast, especially coinciding with negotiating through the return to play protocols and all that. So I was offered the opportunity by TSN to take the better part of a month off, and that's exactly what I did. And knowing that they would likely ratify the CBA and get all that work done while I was on holidays. So I'm back on the clock now. I'll be doing insider trading tonight for SportsCenter, and you know, we're going to talk about some hockey things. So I'm looking forward to talking more about the hockey side of things and less about the health side of things moving forward.
Did you get home on your vacation? I mean, here?
No, I didn't. And that's a tough one for me because, as you know, I deeply enjoy my time in Saskatchewan. I hang out with the boys between Spy Hill and Langeberg at Carlton Trail. We drink a few pops. We play a lot of golf at Carlton Trail. We go fishing down in the Assiniboine Valley and do all sorts of fun things. So maybe later in the summer, early fall, if I'm lucky, but I didn't get a chance to do that and visit my parents and whatnot. So it was a tough one. And look, this is I've asked this question a couple of times. You know, who among us, you know, is crazy enough to sell their house and buy another one in a pandemic? Well, that would be this guy. Wasn't
Speaking
by design,
of stress. You know.
Yeah, it wasn't by design. You know, somebody came up to us and made an offer we couldn't refuse. And, you know, then we had to find a house that we could live with. Now I'm in full-scale renovations on top of that. And, oh, by the way, I'm supposed to move the first week of August. So, yeah, I'm going to have a whole lot going on for the next few weeks, to be sure.
Stress is the name of the game. Okay, Dregs, thanks for fitting us in. I appreciate it, man. We'll be watching. Thank you.
All right, guys, be well.
TSN's Darren Dreger joining us. And by, when I think of him, I think of, you know, Saturday when I was passing that canola field. You saw the photo that I put social media. Yeah. I literally stopped, pulled down an approach, and had to take a picture of how beautiful this is. And I was talking to a friend who goes, we only got about a three-week window of that great weather, great beauty. Because when everything's covered with snow and it's minus 40, nobody's taking pictures.
It looks so good.
I couldn't believe how beautiful it was. And that's what Dregs is talking about. And when you can't get home for a summer.
Yeah.
It sucks,
oh yeah,
but it is what it is. I got a lot of comments to get to. This whole day has turned into a viewer takeover, mm-hmm. And as our boy Paul says, the secret sauce is that
the engagement,
the 11 herbs and spices,
yeah,
is having everybody be part of the show. We've been advertising it for over a year. We're not stopping. Actually, we're going to do it more. So, point being. Aside from the sports update I have coming up on the other side, Colin in Ottawa writes in, says, Colin, what about the fact Sportsnet can't get their cameraman and production crew to broadcast the games? Have you seen this one?
Yeah, I have.
NBC somehow got to bring in their American crews. Just hang on. I know, obviously, you have thoughts on
that. I do.
And I do. These guys are all saying, Jeff the Stamps fan, was it Ralph in New York, about how the CFL's always survived. How's this different? Why do we need the NFL? I'm not done on that. I'm not interested in fighting. But I'll give you today's take on that, guys, and more, because these are the issues that are in the news. It's the RP Show you're watching across North America on Game Plus TV Network and listening and watching around the world on the Rod Peterson Broadcasting Network.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop staffed by PGA of Canada professionals is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
People donate blood for moments like this.
But there are lots of reasons why Canada's Lifeline needs donors every day.
Like the fact that someone with leukemia can need up to 8 units of blood a week.
Or that donated blood lasts no longer than 42 days.
Or to help new moms and babies, like Henry.
There's lots of reasons to donate blood. That's why we need donors every day.
The need for blood is constant. Join Toyota and our Toyota dealers in supporting Canada's Lifeline.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel neglected or unloved? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Thanks for joining us for coffee today, everybody. We are having fun, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we are. Sports update, and then we got some hot, spicy issues to tackle. It didn't seem possible that the MLS's back tournament could start any worse for Toronto FC after its first match was postponed twice due to coronavirus, but it did start worse. A late collapse with 10-man DC United scoring the tying goal in stoppage time proved different as Toronto had to settle for an unsatisfying 2-2 draw when the teams finally took the field Monday morning at ESPN's Wide World of Sports Complex. Toronto hadn't lost a regular season game since last August, the 3rd, when it was beaten 2-0 by the New York Red Bulls. They've gone 5-0-8 since. Toronto's next Group C game is Thursday against the Montreal Impact, who lost their opener 1-0 to the New England Revolution last Thursday. The three group games count in the regular season standings, with Toronto now at 1-0-2, DC United 1-1-1. Seahawks tight end Greg Olsen told the Associated Press he has agreed to a contract with Fox Sports to become its number two NFL game analyst once he retires from football. He signed a one-year $6.9 million deal with Seattle this year. The 35-year-old Olsen will partner with Kevin Burkhardt in the booth as an analyst once the 13-year NFL veteran decides to call it quits. Meanwhile, the Detroit Lions have signed first-round pick Jeff Okuda. The Lions also announced Monday that they have signed second-round selection DeAndre Swift, along with fifth-round picks Quintez Cephas and Jason Huntley. Detroit drafted Okuda, a former OSU standout with a third overall pick, made him the highest-drafted corner since Sean Springs in 1997. That's Whoa. What they think of this guy.
All right.
And they have a need there at corner.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that went to the Eagles from the Lions? He's got the cool name.
Slay?
Yeah, Darius Slay.
Yeah.
So they had to replace him, and they got the third overall pick to do it. This sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. Check out their Instagram feed because it's Taco Tuesday. They got photos of it on their Instagram. See it, Wendell's. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, I've purposely been laying off them so you guys can eat them.
Whoa.
A variety pack of all seven flavors. You can get it for just $20. Order online now, g2gbars.ca. As Ben Cahoon told us, don't use the promo code. It's so cheap you don't need one. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Something like that. g2gbars.ca. g2gbars.ca. Order the whole variety pack. The reason being that I've laid off them, actually, is because, as I told you, I woke up. Or Friday evening, I was laying on the couch watching something. Can't remember. Wife was out. I had cramps in my feet so bad I couldn't even stand up. I couldn't stand up.
Whoa.
Do you get cramps at all?
No.
So, I have periodically in my life, but they've been getting worse. So I, as I'm laying there, I Google what to do for muscle cramps. It says your diet is shy of magnesium, short of magnesium. So I Google foods with magnesium in them. And almonds and cashews came up, some of the first thing. Plus dark chocolate, plus lentils, chickpeas, all the things that are actually not, they're good.
Yeah. So you've been trying to incorporate
I've been eating all those things, and guess what? They went away. The cramps.
Interesting. That's good.
I know. So to get back on track here of all the things, I said it was going to get spicy.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, the Stamps fan, said nobody's arguing here. If he wanted to argue, he would go to other places on Facebook or other social media forums. Paul Figler writing from the dubnetwork.ca, he says, we want to know, is Dupes applying for any of the Pats positions? Gosh knows they got a million. I'll let you answer. You can speak for yourself.
Right now, I am happy where I am.
People want to know.
I'm happy with the team that I'm on. I'm really happy being part of this organization, that's all I'll say at this time.
You're starting to sound like me.
Isn't that what they say when they're at a press conference? Are you leaving in free agency? Do you have any interest in that job? I'm happy with the team I'm on. I'm dedicated for this season and the path of success that we're on, and I'm looking forward to the future.
Clark just said to me in my earpiece, so then Dupes is definitely leaving.
Let the speculation begin.
I want to say this. Well, good for you, by the way. You always got to leave him guessing.
Exactly.
But we were talking about this in our morning meeting, and we've been talking about it for a year, and a lot of you folks don't understand it, but think about and pay attention to what's been going on. We are our own franchise. We are our own team, i.e., we have now a television deal. We have our own merchandise line that's going well. We are doing our own sports trips, and we're going to be doing a hell of a lot more once things open up. We are a franchise. We're running it like a franchise. In our meetings, we talk about what happens on the team and interaction amongst the players. We're running it like a franchise, or if I may, the way franchises used to be run. That's what we're doing here. And I was coming up the stairs here this morning, and I was like bouncing up the stairs going, I can't wait to get in here. And I do believe this is exactly where I need to be at this time of my life, and I'll be happy to do it for 30 more years. Not even joking. And the national television bit is a nice bouquet on it. But nothing has changed for me.
Nothing.
From what we were doing before to what we're doing now. Nothing. And it was Darren's vision, not mine. It's nothing that I did. This was your idea, right?
Yeah.
So as far as the Pats go, who knows where that's going to go. But it's nice to be happy where you're at, not desperate to get out of where you're at.
Very nice.
And the other thing, by the way, and then I'll move on to actual sports things, but for you people that have been following me for years, I used to be tweeting about the Riders, Facebooking about the Riders. All 24 hours was taken up with the Riders. I was promoting the hell out of the Riders. Now I'm not anymore. Look at my social media feeds. It's the 30-second highlight reel that Game Plus put together for us that I put on my social media. It's all about this show, this brand. This is the team. This is the franchise. From viewer Brett Thompson, he says, do you have your own bobbleheads? Not yet, but we talked about it. From our summer student, is he a student? Or yep. What do you call him?
Yeah.
He says, what's the market value on that 30-plus year deal, Rod? Well, let's see. Mahomes was at $45 million a year times 10 years. This is $45 million a year. Let me say that again. $45 million a year times 30 years, $1,350 million. It's $1.3 billion.
Yeah, but
billion,
but
with a B.
But when you sign that, we're locking you into that $45 million. That doesn't grow with inflation. That's it?
How much of that is guaranteed?
We're not going.
Very little.
$40,000.
Yeah. I wondered where the heck we were going to go here. So to get on to the serious stuff.
Yeah, the NBC comment. NBC.
Oh, NBC.
That's where we left it.
Well, no, but the CFL players are going back and forth.
We left that going into the break, and then the CFL thing came up in the break.
Right.
Oh, boy.
We are all over the place. On the deal. I was alerted to this by a good friend of mine, Corey Gibbons. He lives in Minot. He's originally from Weyburn, went down to play for the Minot Americans, never left. and we've stayed in touch. Mm-hmm. So he was tweeting at Scott Moe and Justin Trudeau, basically saying, if these American broadcast workers, not necessarily broadcasters, but the work, some are broadcast people from NBC, are allowed to come into Canada, cross the border to work, can I come up and visit my 85-year-old mom in Regina? Because I haven't been able to for the last 4 months. He's tweeting at them openly. Makes sense. So I said, Gibby, where's this coming from? He goes, well, here's the link to the Steve Simmons story in the Toronto Sun. NBC's bringing broadcasters into Canada to broadcast the Stanley Cup playoffs on the world feed, and Canadian freelance broadcasters being left out of work. I know a lot of people are upset about it. My initial take reading the Steve Simmons article is that I've been screwed over by networks my whole life and teams. It all sucks. Sorry, guys. It's the way that it is. That's just my take. What's yours? Do you have one before I move on to the CFL and what the players are saying?
I do. First of all, are you crazy with, you know, comparing that to going and visiting your family? Because they're coming into the bubble just like the players are. So they're not special. You're not getting to just come in and go for dinner and go all out and about and whatever else. They're doing the hotel thing, the rink thing. They're in the bubble. They're locked down, the same as the players. But it's a money thing, and it's a partnership thing. Who owns the NHL network? NHL and NBC together. I think the NBC, NBC owns about 15%. NHL owns the other 85%. So that's their official partner when it comes to broadcast for the league. So there's guarantees that they get certain opportunities and first right of refusal. That's all it is. If we're only going here for two places to do games, well, we have an agreement with NBC, and then it's the other network places next. So it does suck. It sucks for the freelancers. I get it. But the NHL has that partnership with NBC, so that's what comes first. I would
pardon
assume
me.
That's where it came from.
And the offshoot on that, by the way, Gibby doesn't really care about the broadcasters. He cares about the Americans being able to come into Canada at will because the politicians are looking the other way. And that was the Steve Simmons article. So this isn't to Gibby, but it's to anybody that if you don't understand yet in life that there's some rules for some people and other rules for others, if you're the people that put on social media, everything needs to be fair. Everybody needs to be treated equally. This isn't grade three. It's not a reality in life. So I'm not interested in getting into the fight over who gets into the country and who isn't, because there's different rules for everybody. Always has been and always will be. Sorry to tell you. Should I go more down that road, or am I done on that?
If you want. I love it. I completely
agree.
But you
get it.
I agree. And fair does not always mean equal.
That's not fair.
Fair does not always mean the same, right? Doesn't.
I just saw it on Twitter. It's from a guy I respect, but he goes, everybody needs to be treated equally. It's just not going to happen, man. We're not 10-year-old kids at summer camp. Enough's enough with this mentality. It's just not the way that it is. Get real about it. I feel like such a streetwalker when I say Rod's rant brought to you by Bronco Plumbing and Heating. Mention Rod sent you and saved 10%. Like it meant that was all scripted, which, by the way, it wasn't. But in the time left here, before we bring in Gord Burnett of the Moose Jaw Warriors. So Tony Washington, friend of the show, Alouettes lineman, says, this was his original tweet that has sparked quite a back and forth. Just what I thought. CFL waited till the last minute to give us a deadline to decide in a BS return to play scenario. And when we don't agree, it's our fault. For rookie Americans, they're offering 33% of a $64,000 deal. That's $21,000 before taxes. After taxes, $14,000. In Canada, after conversion to the United States, $9,000. And Almondo Sewell, the Eskimos' great defensive tackle, writes him back and goes, listen, no, realistically, you're playing for $3,000 American on a $64,000 deal that's cut to a third, prorated. Yeah, throw it up. If you have it, throw it up. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, don't. Clark said they're swearing in it, so we won't put it up. But that's the deal. So this is what's going around amongst the players. Now, having said all this, let's remember this. 10% of the people make 90% of the noise. Maybe there are guys that are willing to pay for it. Willing to play for that pay. I can't say for sure. It's going to go to a union vote, and I don't know what they'll even need to pass it. 80% of players? Farhan said on the weekend on TSN that 80% of the CFL players he's talked to want to play. So just by going that Tony Washington's upset with the deal doesn't mean they're all going to be upset with the deal, but it doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't. Doesn't look good. But that also comes back to the narrative that this favors the veterans. This favors guys who will come in and be ready to play. So even in that sense, financially and when it comes to game plans and playbooks and all of the rest, it doesn't favor the American rookies. So that's who's going to get kind of the shaft of all of this. Those guys. The third, and you start breaking it down of a guy who's making $100,000 or $200,000.
John Ryan's a perfect example.
Not so bad.
Yeah.
But the American rookies are the guys who will get shafted.
We'll continue this a little later on in the show. Clark has informed me that Moose Jaw Warriors assistant coach Gord Burnett is ready. So we're going to take a break. Clark, you got to tell me if Gord's wearing a suit, because every time I see him, he's impeccably dressed. I want to ask him about that. Oh, a golf shirt. It's the first time I'll see Gord Burnett in a golf shirt, not a three-piecer. Guy's very well-dressed. But it is summertime.
Oh, yeah.
Hockey talk when we come back, and then we'll round out on the CFL a little later on. It's the RP Show. You're watching across North America on Game Plus Network and watching and listening around the world on the Rod Peterson Broadcasting Network.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work. Follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait. Do it right now.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
Yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. I should, just before we get to Gord Burnett, check the poll results, by the way. Don't mind me being rudely on my phone here, but the Twitter poll today, and it's on Facebook as well, is which is Canada's game of the week in Week 6 in the Canadian Football League sim season. The winner of the poll will be broadcast live on this very Facebook Live channel on Friday night. What's the Facebook results saying there?
BC at Winnipeg, 64%. Then Toronto, Edmonton at 18%. Calgary, Montreal, 11%.
On Twitter, similar standings, just slightly different numbers. BC at Winnipeg leading at 48%. That's who I voted for. That's what I wanted to call. So it'll be 7 p.m. Mountain Friday night. BC Lions, Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Yeah, it looks like that result will probably
hold. A rematch of the 2011 Grey Cup. We're going to get to see Willie Jefferson, Zach Caleros against Mike Riley and the gang. It's going to be big, folks.
And because we haven't done Winnipeg yet, I got some homework to do.
Yeah, but it's fun homework.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Really fun.
All right, let's bring him in now. The newest member of the Moose Jaw Warriors coaching staff, Gord Burnett, joins us today. Gord, I appreciate the time. I've read so much about you here the last couple of weeks. Not like I didn't know you before, but I feel like I know you a lot better. How's life as a Moose Jaw Warrior?
It's been pretty good so far. Thanks for having me.
So tell me, please, how did this all come about that you're with the Winnipeg Blues last season and now you're a Moose Jaw Warrior assistant coach? What happened in between?
Well, the with the COVID and the pandemic, things are uncertain in hockey, as you guys know, talking sports every day. But, you know, Mark and I knew each other. We've talked about, you know, possibly coaching together at some point. At, you know, lots of friends around the game. And you know, you never really think it's going to happen. And then, you know, the timing just became was right. And the opportunity to get back in the WHL a year ago, I needed a head coaching experience. So I went and did that with especially with the Ice owners buying the Junior A team there in Winnipeg, the Blues. So I became the head coach, got that experience for a year. It was great. And then, you know, the opportunity to join Mark and the staff there in Moose Jaw was a great opportunity. I didn't want to let it pass by me, I guess, because, you know, the timing's also a part of all these things as well.
There's no doubt. So did you play with Mark O'Leary somewhere when you guys crossed paths in your years in the Central League or ECHL?
Yeah, we played together in the ECHL in New Jersey and in Phoenix, actually. So we knew each other from there, and then we got to know each other again when he was coaching Moose Jaw. I was actually coaching in Arizona in the CHL, actually. So ran into each other at the draft and just kept in contact. Then I came into the WHL a couple years later, and he helped me out. Assistant coaches talk a lot just because there's a lot on the plate of assistant coaches. So he was real good contact for me when I first came into the league.
Gord, before we look ahead, I just want to look back for a minute. Our third highest city for viewership is Winnipeg. And I'd spent a good time on the phone last week with James Patrick talking about what's going on there with the ice and so forth. And I'm intrigued by what they're building in that hockey, in that city. You mentioned the ice, bought the Blues, and let's hope there's a new arena for them at some point. Can you talk about being part of that whole system? Is it as positive as it looks from the outside?
Yeah, you know, they have a vision that they want to create a place for kids, you know, young players to play hockey, and a lot of them in that area. And the vision of the arena is real positive. It's going to be a beautiful facility. Now it's just about getting it built. And you know, working with James, he's real excited about it, being a Winnipeg native. And you know, he's excited about coaching in his hometown, and hopefully he's going to coach in that new building sooner than later. I think, you know, there's some roadblocks. I'm not a real estate developer, but I know there's a lot of hurdles to overcome yet. But eventually it's going to get done, and eventually it'll be a positive place and a real exciting place to watch junior hockey games.
Well, that was the sense that I got from Jeep talking on the phone. After 1,280 games in the NHL, coaching the amount that he has, to be home, he's just, feels good, and just let it grow, and I don't think he's going anywhere. What did you learn, Gord, in the Manitoba Junior Hockey League that did help your development?
Yeah, it's a real good question, Roddy. It was more just about the responsibilities that fall on the head coach. So I've been an assistant coach forever, right? And you know, some days there's days where the head coach may be a little distracted, or he's on the phone, or he's in other meetings. And there's some things you need the head coach, you know, you need to talk to him about before you can do anything more. So I think just learning all the responsibilities and pressures that fall on the head coach, I think that's going to make me a better assistant. With Mark, and Mark's a new head coach too, so hopefully I can help him navigate some of those new responsibilities as well. But I think that's the biggest thing that I learned in the Manitoba League, was just all of the things that go along with being a head coach.
I tell you, I joked about your suits, but I mean, at the showcase, I saw you milling around there like, I'll just say, the best dressed guy at the event. Where do you get your clothes, Gord?
Oh, I don't know. Wherever I am, I guess if you end up killing some time in the mall or whatever, and you see something you like, I guess you buy it. Recently, as an assistant coach, or you don't get paid much. So I've been at R&W where they have some nice clothes and it's a good sale. So it's a good price. So R&W has been the place as of late, actually.
Well, I think that you're a guy that would make a $100 suit look good. There are some guys who you could put a $3,000 suit on and still wouldn't look good. You know what I mean? It has a little to do with the model.
Well, the model, and just cut your suit to fit. That's it, right?
Well, that's
most of these guys wear it right off the rack, and it looks like a garbage bag.
I know. Well, look at Gordy. He's turning red. Sorry. Sorry to put you on the spot. Hey, I'm just saying, you're a well-dressed guy. So
I had to chop there. James was Jeep was sponsored by those guys. He was in the front window, so I felt like I had to buy there.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. No kidding. So to the Moose Jaw thing, we all, I think, are literally praying that we have junior hockey here in the fall. And from what I hear, it's positive. What do you like about the Warriors? There's no doubt they're in a rebuilding situation here coming off a 14-win season, but they got a pretty good European pick. They got a good pipeline coming, and the city's excited about Mark O'Leary. What has you excited about the Warriors?
Well, I think first it's the staff. Knowing Mark, knowing how hard a worker he is, we've already met a couple times, very well prepared and organized. Getting to know Kinger a little bit, and then Al Miller as well, he's general manager. I don't know him a lot. I've met him a couple times now and going through this whole process, but a number of people that I know have always spoke very highly of him, guys that I've worked with. That he's also worked with in his past, speaking very highly of him. So really that's number one for me, is going to join a staff of great people. And then, I've been through the rebuilding thing, but I missed last year, which I know, it's a very hard year. And then, we got picks coming in, like Denton Matichuk's coming in there. And when I started in Kootenay, we were in the same position, except for we were back a year. Like, we had to coach a whole year before we even picked Peyton Krebs, and then we had to wait a year for him to come in, and that was almost the start of the rebuild there, where here we already got a guy coming in that's a big prospect, I guess I could say. And then Damon Hunt should be picked pretty high here in the draft when that comes about, the Europeans. And I've coached a couple of the players that are listed with Central Scouting, just with Team Saskatchewan, so I know some of the roster. I've gotten to know some of the staff. And I think those are the two things that really excite me, that, it's going to be a building process, but I'm excited about the work ahead and the development process that goes into it. Last year in Manitoba and Winnipeg, we essentially had the youngest team in the country, and going through that process and developing those players, it's rewarding as a coach when the guys start to get it and the light bulbs start to go off for the kids as you teach them the game and the skills that go into that. And all those things, when you put them together, gets me excited about it. And now it's just about getting it started.
Yeah, no kidding. Gets me excited, too. Well, Gord, thanks for the visit. Good catching up. And I hope to bump into in the rings here this fall for sure.
Absolutely. Thanks, Roddy. I appreciate you guys having me on.
You betcha. Gord Burnett of the Moose Jaw Warriors joining us on video chat today. I should have asked him where he's from. He's a Regina guy, but he's lived all over. But what are they saying now? The Warriors have the nicest hair on the coaching staff in the Western Hockey League.
Very clean cut.
Yeah, he did. Very just clean. Looks like an NHL coach.
Oh, yeah.
As does O'Leary. So, the Moose Jaw Warriors. Are you getting excited for the season?
It just sounds good. Yeah, I am. Of course I am.
I love saying it.
I want to get back to the rink. There's nothing better.
I feel like deja vu.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm experiencing it. I want to go to the restaurant.
I thought you meant the chicken wing. Oh, you did?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
The milkshakes and the chicken wings.
Yeah, let's go. I was at that pool party Saturday, as I said, and I was saying to the guy, well, it was Shay from our from Prairie Mobile. I said, when was the last time we were at Deja Vu? And he goes, we went to the PBR event, the Pro Bull Riding
That's
event.
Right.
We went to Deja Vu before for wings, and we went for milkshakes after the bull riding. What a great day. Who's writing a happy birthday to Cliffy Mapes? Oh, it's from Caesar. Caesar's all over the show today. Love you, Caesar. He says happy birthday to Cliffy Mapes watching today. He is the top sales accountant for the Prince Albert Raiders.
Running that show.
Oh, and happy birthday to Kent and Keith, by the way. The 40th. 40th. How, what a coincidence that Cliff Mapes and Kent and Keith would both be celebrating their 40th birthdays on the same day.
Happy birthday, guys.
Yeah, no kidding. One last thing on this point before we break. Are we coming back for overtime? We are. I'm just having so much fun writing that WHL column, by the way. And my wife went out with a friend for supper at the Keg on Friday. It allowed me to bury myself in the nerddom of the Western Hockey League. And I looked up the win totals. Did you read my column?
Yeah, I did.
For all of the East Division teams over the last 10 years. And it surprised me. Didn't surprise me that Brandon was number one. 367 wins over the last 10 years. What surprised me was the Moose Jaw Warriors were number two, and they were only 20 wins behind.
They had some really good years. In
52
the last
wins a couple years ago.
And I think about, you know, even our, you know, the Saskatoon Blades, probably, you know, not that many, because they weren't very good since 2013, the last 7 years. Decade before that, totally different. But it's all, what have you done lately?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love it. And if you don't know me, you wouldn't realize why I love it. If you do know me, you will know exactly why I love it.
Yeah.
But I talked to a buddy up in PA, and I'm going to go visit him in August. And you saw the tweet from Janelle, our viewer, that everybody up there is wearing Raiders shirts around Candle Lake, and how she is wearing an RP show shirt. That's pretty cool.
It is.
They're into the dub around here.
Oh, yeah.
And I love talking about it. We'll be back with overtime. We'll talk about the rock star of the day. And as a matter of fact, here's how we'll close. We have to talk about this, the CFL stuff. I kind of feel like it got real today.
Yeah.
Or more real, because it's been a real for a while. So OT is coming up. Hang on. It's the RP Show across North America on Game Plus Network and watching and viewing around the world on the Rod Peterson Broadcasting Network.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter. Monster hit. Crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back for overtime, everybody. It'll be a shorty. And this tweet's a shorty because we only had three live guests today. Does your Samsung phone have predictive...
Yep.
I guess it's autocorrect or predictive.
Kind of, yeah.
Like, I almost threw my phone through the wall here because I'm tweeting, who's Tuesday's Rockstar of the Day for Rockstar Supply Chain Salute? And it came up, Supply Chain Absolutions. No! That's not what I want. And it's never ducking. It's never ducking. Never. I'm never typing ducking.
Never.
You'd think the phone would figure that out after a while. And then you realize this is really... Really? This is what you're getting upset about? Really?
I know.
Talk about first world
problems. Why is this thing
problems.
Not as smart as I am?
Talk about first world problems. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm putting this down. I'll finish tweeting it later. I do think we're going to have a photo finish here for Rockstar of the Day, though, because Rich Sutter, Darren Dreger, Gord Burnett, all great. The Moose Jaw Warriors texted me after the interview and said, thanks for having Gord on. If you want to know why I'm enjoying working in Major Junior Hockey again, and for that matter, Junior A as well, is because of people like that. You don't very often get a message from a pro team afterwards saying, thanks for having our guy on.
Right.
So it just feels good. That's all. So to the flat earthers, if I will. What? What?
Everybody in the back.
You know, they broke out laughing.
Where's he going with this?
Oh, they're worried about it?
I don't know. Continue.
Colin says the phone wants you to stop typing curse words, Rod. What are you, Mother Teresa? I'll text what I want to text. Anyways, what?
To the flat earthers.
Why did you turn red? Oh, just by the way, Paul Figler writes in from the Dub Network. He says, if you search Rod Peterson on the site, you'll find all his articles on a page. There you go. The volume, the set is growing.
Yes.
Anyways, so these CFL players, Tony Washington, let's just use him. I'm not going to exaggerate or say, but he's saying that this offer from the league is a joke. And for an American rookie, he's breaking down the numbers between him and Armando Sewell. It's like you're going to be playing for $3,000 American to come up here and play for 6 weeks and be sequestered for what? 100 plus days? How many days, Clark? Whatever he said it was. 100-ish days. 105 days, Clark tells me. They're all saying it's a crappy deal. And if you don't realize the influence that you can have on people, it's big. Older players in the union have influence on younger players in the union. And yes, guys like Mike Riley and Bo Levi and, shoot, Matt Nichols are making the big dollars. But there's a lot more guys making less money than are making big money.
Yeah.
Fair?
Oh, yeah.
So let's just say for a second, if the players reject the proposal, then the CFL's not going to play. And I'm not going to be condescending, but I'm like, this is my take, folks. For the people that say the CFL's always been around, it will always be around. CFL hasn't missed a season since the early 1940s, and that had to do with complications with World War II. In the 1910s, we looked this up. They didn't play because of lack of interest in Eastern Canada. Nothing's changed. So the point is, folks, there's never been a season wiped out because of a pandemic. Never. So to sit there and say it's always been around, it will always be around. You got your head stuck so far in the sand, I don't know if you'll ever see the light of day. And you got the financial juggernaut that is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders that's going to lose $10 million if they don't play this season. You don't see the grave nature of that situation, folks? You don't? Oh, it's no big deal. It's always been around. An attitude like that is going to kill the CFL.
Assuming that it's going to be there and it's always going to be there, it'll be fine. That's what you do to any problem. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. That lump on my hip, it'll be fine. It'll go
away. Why would I go to the doctor?
It'll go away. It'll go away.
So what if the engine's rattling? Turn up the radio. Keep going.
And by the time you go to get it fixed, it's too late. And it's either really expensive or it's past the point of no return. So it's very interesting time right now, for sure.
Sorry.
No.
Jeff, the Stamps fan, says $3,000 all in or per game. Jeff, he's talking for the whole six-game season, $3,000 U.S. I wouldn't do it. Now, Donald Mitchell, that's our Navy friend who's watching from the Middle East, says the CFL player complaining is only getting one-third of the regular pay for playing one-third of the games. Sounds fair. No, but they're saying, Don, and you're a smart guy, is it worth it to come up for six games? That's what the Americans are saying. Is it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Go through the paperwork. Go through your own expenses to get there. And what, you're not going to have living as arrangements in Regina if you're a Rough Rider because you're going to be playing in Winnipeg for 105 days? You're basically going to be homeless. You're going to be a homeless person for 105 days. Where are we going to send the check because you don't have an address? This is a situation that the CFL's in. And if these players don't want to play and the deadline's coming, it's 9 days away, can you please tell me what they're going to do then? Oh, wait a minute. The CFL's always been around, so it's always going to be fine. That's how I've read the situation.
Yeah. It's such an interesting situation when you look at all of the financial implications. But at the same time, it's good. The players have a lot to gain from playing, not just financially either. There's a lot to gain from playing. I mean, the personal branding, the exposure, the solidifying a spot on an organization. One guy's willing to play and one guy's not. And that guy plays and he does well and the coaches love him. They just want to bring him back. They want to find room for him. So for a lot of guys, this is going to be about making an investment in your future to get a spot on a team. Get yourself in there. Show you can play. Make an impact, and all of a sudden, you're going to be so valuable next year and the year after that, that a guy who says, maybe I'm not going to play, might never get that opportunity again. So there's that other side to look at it, too.
It's going
to
be up to each individual player, that's all.
For sure, it's a risk.
And the guy here, Jeff the Stamps fan, says, no one has that attitude. Really? That's not what I'm hearing from Ralph earlier, or you, Jeff. And you said, well, this is all COVID-related. So if it wasn't for COVID, we wouldn't be having these problems. Yep. And if my aunt had nuts, she'd be my uncle. We can talk about, but that's the situation that they're in. They've never faced a bubble city concept before or playing a third of a season. What do you mean? I just feel like I'm beating my head against the wall. And again, why am I arguing it? Why? I don't want to fight about it. They'll figure it out because the CFL's always been around and it always will be.
Right.
What's up tomorrow? Justin Dunk of 3downnation.com. Robert Witchell of the Jays Care Foundation. The Blue Jays reached out last week and said, hey, don't forget about us. We know you're cheering for the Wyverns in the Korean Baseball League, but can we come on?
Yes.
So the Blue Jays are going to have somebody on tomorrow. CFL great Drew Tate, who the last he was on the BC Lions staff, I think just as recent as last year. We'll get an update from Drew Tate. Iowa great. And Calgary Stampeders chief punk, Ryan Ballantyne, blogger, podcaster. Hey, he and I don't tend to, me and anybody from Calgary don't seem to see eye to eye.
It happens. Lean into it.
Always got to be a villain. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Game Plus TV Network and Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.